I would ask you to stand, please, in reverence for God's holy word. If you would like to take a pew Bible, you can turn to the gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. We will begin with the 26th verse. When you get there, say amen. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be holy, and he will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. What we have is an amazing miracle story. It is a miracle that the Holy Spirit could overshadow this young girl and she bring forth a son. But you know, it is also a miracle of how she responded. God asked her to do something no one had ever done. Ever. Now, what happens when something happens for the very first time? When the very first time, and she is engaged to a man named Joseph, she is obviously a very upright, loving, wonderful person, and her family must be well thought of, although they are not anything special in Israel. And this angel comes to her and says, "You are going to conceive." And she said, Susan translation, huh? Because she said, "How can that be?" He said, he didn't say you're going to conceive when you marry Joseph, you're going to have a son. He said, "You are going to conceive now." And she said, "Well, we just have one problem with that. I am a virgin." Implicated in there and intend to remain so. So what can this be? But you notice she was not confrontive. She just asked the same question any reasonable person would ask. And then the angel tells her, "You will be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit." Now, we have read this story so many times that sounds really commonplace. But how many times has that happened? Never. So if she is going to be pregnant, and unmarried, what's going to happen to her? Is anybody going to believe that? I got news for you. My mom and daddy wouldn't have believed it. Nuh-uh. No way. My mom and daddy would never have bought that one. If before we were married, I had told that to Gary, Gary wouldn't have bought it either. As much as he loved me, he wasn't going to buy that one. So let me ask, God gave her this amazing promise, but with the amazing promise came stuff that she could not possibly understand. And stuff that she knew was going to be at best difficult, at worst stoned for. Now, given this situation, I might have been like Moses. I might have come up with all the reasons God needs to choose somebody else for this. You remember when God called Moses? And Moses said, well, you know, I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. You know, I have been cast out of Egypt. Nobody's going to listen to me. I wasn't raised with Israel. They're not going to believe what I say. He came up with all these reasons that God ought to go elsewhere. When God called me to preach, I gave him all these reasons why he ought to go elsewhere. Now, not initially, when he called me, I was 14, and I was all about it. When I got older and understood what was going to happen with that, then I said, wait a minute. You know, if you're checking off qualifications, I'm not one of them. That's not me. What are you talking about? All these reasons. But you know, Mary didn't react like Moses. Well, now she could have reacted like Gideon. When God called Gideon to lead Israel in battle and to free them from the Midianites, Gideon said, yeah, but first, I want to see some signs. First, and he laid out the fleece. Remember the fleece? First, he laid it out, and he wanted the floor wet and the fleece dry, and then he wanted the fleece wet and the floor dry. And it was just like, I just need just one more sign. Do we not ask God for signs? Do we just not say, God, you need to not just tell me, but you need to show me? You need to give me a sign. You need to show me not just something, but a miracle. Like God was a dog and pony show. We do that. We do it. But you know, Mary didn't ask for a sign. She didn't ask to see a miracle. But even though she didn't ask, God did tell her. He said, and Elizabeth, who was called barren, way past her childbearing years, is now pregnant too. It's her 6th month. The 6th month being she would then come out of seclusion. She would have been in seclusion for the first 6 months of her pregnancy, and then she would be out. And said, you know, you can go check this out if you want to. Implied. But it was a gift, not a demand. You know, a lot of us are like Jonah. God said to Jonah, go to Nineveh and proclaim to them that they are about to be judged. And Jonah said, don't like them, don't want to. Go ahead and judge them. I don't care if they get judged. I want you to judge them. I want you to judge them hard. They are the enemy. I don't want to tell them that you would forgive them because I don't want them to be forgiven. times has God called and we just said no? You got to admit, it would be very, very easy for Mary to have said no. No, I don't want to do that. I will do something else, but I don't want to do that. Jonah was perfectly willing to go to anybody in Israel, but he did not want to warn the enemy. He didn't have anything against preaching. It was just who he was supposed to preach to that he had a problem with. See, we tend to give God qualifiers. Have you ever said, yeah, God, I'll do this if you'll do that? Yeah, I've done it. I'll do this if you'll do that. God, I don't want to do that. Just send me someplace else. Before I went into ministry, I began with one thing. I only asked God for one thing. I said, I will go to any six churches you want me to. That's the maximum number you can give a pastor in the Methodist church. I said, you can send me to the city. You can send me to the country. You can send me here. You can send me there. But please, God, don't send me to a church that's a building project. God has a sense of humor. Because I've lived through building projects in churches before. As the only thing I ask, just don't send me to a church with a building project we've had too. You all try to build one more thing, and I'm going to hurt you. But I'm perfectly willing to go anywhere, God, just... let me qualify that. Let me qualify that. Mary could have said, you know, Lord, you can let me be the spouse of a Levite. I'll be a preacher's wife. Just not this. She didn't say that, did she? And then we've got the one that just said no. We don't even know his name. We call him the rich young ruler. And Jesus himself called this one and said, he said, what must I do? And he said, give up your wealth. Give it all to the poor and follow me. And it said he went away. He said no. He was sorry about it. He was sorrowful. It said he went away sorrowful. But he said the cost was just too much. Just too much. How many times have we said it's cost too much? Now, I, even if I'd made it past the others with Mary, I think I would have said that just cost too much. It's kind of like the chicken and the pig talking about breakfast. And the chicken just gives a donation, but for the pig it's a completely dedicated thing. It's a completely dedicated thing that you're asking me for here, Lord. It just costs too much. But she didn't. What did she say? She said, here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Let it be with me according to your word. No provisos, no demonstrations, no qualifiers. just an unequivocal yes. Just yes. Friends, what would God do today if his people were to say, let it to be with us according to your word without qualifiers? What would it be if all of us just said, no matter what, no matter where, no matter who, no matter what the cost, just tell me, Lord, and I'm for it. How many people have done that? I'm not asking for a show of hands. But have you done it? Have you ever told him that no matter what he wants, you're willing to do it, no matter what the price? Because you trust him enough to know that it's the right thing? Have you been willing to be used or willing to be put aside? Have you just said, let it be unto me according to your word? Whatever that word is. I've said it, and I took it back. I've said it, and when I said it, I meant it. And then by golly, he took me up on it. And I was, hold on. And then we went through some of the Moses, Gideon, Jonah stuff. Because it sounds really good until the rubber hits the road. But imagine what it would be like if all of us just said, let it be unto me according to your will, according to your word. And you know, that's a twofer, folks. The first one is, I will do anything you ask me to do. The second one is, what God says is so. Therefore, everything in this book I can rely on and is true. Let all those promises be unto me according to your word. Let your plan be unto me according to your word. Let everything that you have said that I have responsibility for or the privilege to have be mine according to your word. It's double. Because unlike most of America, and America is one of the worst, with privilege comes responsibility, people, and it's time we took up our responsibility with our privileges. We're all about the privileges. When I turned 16, I wanted a car. What I wanted was a nice, sleek, shiny, fast car. What I got was a rusty Mustang 65. I started driving in 74. But I had it. And it was all right. Up until the part where I had to pay insurance and gas. See, I wanted the privilege. I didn't want the responsibility. See, I was going to be like those people that say, just, you know, yeah. Gimme, 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 gimme. Without paying the cost. Mary said, let it be unto me according to your word, with both the promise and the cost. What could God do? And what would he do if every person who called themselves a Christian would do the same? This Christmas, we celebrate a child. We celebrate a miraculous child that the Holy Spirit overshadowed a young girl, and she gave birth to the Savior of the world. But folks, that same Holy Spirit would overshadow us and impregnate us with all the desires and joys and hopes and miracles that we need to turn this world around. If we'll just say, let it be unto me according to your word. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.